Storms and natural disasters wreak all kinds of devastation. Homes are destroyed, whole neighborhoods wiped out. In 2008, Hurricane Ike went through the city of Galveston, Texas. When it went through Galveston, it was a Category 4 hurricane. Winds reached up 143 miles per hour, and in its path, there was pure devastation. Everything was wiped out, except for one little yellow house. After the storm had wiped everything out, there was one little yellow house that remained standing. And the investigators wanted to know, why was that? And so they looked into it. What they found was that several years beforehand, there had been a much milder storm, and that house had been damaged. And so the owners went back and rebuilt that house according to hurricane standards. When everything else was flattened, when everything else was leveled, that house stood because it had been built to withstand hurricanes. Storms come through our life all the time. Some are bigger, some not as much. Some are more painful than others, but storms come through our life all the time. I want to build my life in a way that it can withstand the storms that come my way. Now, if you had walked through in Galveston, if you had walked around the block and in that neighborhood and looked at all the houses, you would have seen that house looked like all the other ones. Walls and a roof and a chimney and porch and windows and doors, it looked like all the rest. So had you walked through before the storm came, you would not have been able to identify that house as the house that stood. It looked like all the others. If you walked through church today, would you be able to tell which person's life would be able to withstand the storms? If you walked through the halls of Crossing Kids, would you be able to tell which families could withstand the storms? I mean, how would you identify the person that could withstand the storms that come their way? Is it because they got like a little halo over their head? Is it because they have some sort of spiritual glow? Is it because they carry an extra big Bible? Is it because they are the ones that with the self-control to withstand the donuts? What is it that tells you that this person is going to be able to withstand the storms that come their way in life? Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is going to tell us how to withstand the storms that come our way. Matthew chapter 7. Now this parable that we're going to read concludes the Sermon on the Mount, and everything that I say this morning is rooted in this parable. But this is the only time I'm going to read it. So you might want to have it open in front of you to refer back to, or at least pay attention now to Jesus' words in Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Now, Jesus is not teaching us anything about architecture or engineering or building codes. No, Jesus is teaching something far more significant, something eternally significant. He is teaching us about our life. Last week, Dave preached what I thought was a really good sermon that you should go back and listen to if you didn't hear it, but a really good sermon on some very sobering verses at the end of Matthew 7. In those verses, Jesus said that there are two gates with two roads leading to each one, a broad road and a narrow road, each road leading in a very different destination, two gates, two roads. And he also said, Jesus said that there are two kinds of teachers, or he calls them prophets, false prophets and true prophets, and two kinds of professions of faith, Jesus said. Genuine confession and a false profession. And now he says there are two houses. Two gates, two roads, two prophets, two kinds of professions of faith, and now two houses. What is it Jesus is doing here? I mean, he seems to be driving us, as he concludes the Sermon on the Mount, he seems to be driving us to this inevitable choice that every human being has to make. He's asking us a series of questions. Which road am I on? The broad or the narrow? Right? Which teachers do I listen to? Which faith do I have? Which house best describes my life? See, Jesus is stacking metaphor on metaphor. He's asking question after question for a reason, but what is it? Is he trying to scare us? I don't think that's his intention. There are plenty of verses in the Bible that are scary. A guy I meet with on Friday said, last Friday said that some of the verses Dave talked about last week are some of the scariest he's ever read in the Bible. So there are, if scary is not the right word, at least sobering passages in the Scripture, and I think these are some of them. But I don't think Jesus' intention, as if he's trying to set out to scare us. No, I think what Jesus is trying to do is help us and love us by teaching sobering truth that blows away the spiritual fog that envelops us and confuses us and keeps us from seeing life as it really is, where we truly are spiritually. See, Jesus concludes the Sermon on the Mount with this parable that we just read, a parable about two men who build houses. And in this parable, what he is wanting us to do is examine the foundation that we are building our life on. When we look at the story, these two men, these two builders, they have a lot in common. For example, they both have the same vision, the same dream. They both want to build a house. And of course, in this story, this parable, the house is a picture of a life. Both men want to build their life. And to some extent, their vision for the good life is very similar. Because by all accounts, these houses that appear in the parable are the exact same. These two houses look the same. So they're two men with the same vision. They want to build a life. And they listen to the same teaching. Not only do they want to both build a life, but they listen to the same teachers. They go to the same church. They read the same Bible. Both of them respect Jesus. Both of them listen to Jesus. In fact, he's their teacher. We know that because in the parable, Jesus said, "Those who listen to these words of mine." See, Jesus is their teacher. They look up to him. They admire him. They think he's got great principles, great insights. So don't think that like one of these guys, they loved the truth and the other one disdained it. Don't think that one of these guys showed up to Bible study every week and the other guy, he skipped out. Don't think that one of these guys had a Bible, highlighted all their favorite verses, and the other one didn't know where he last saw his Bible. That is not at all how this story comes to us from Jesus. No, both of these guys listened to Jesus. Both of them respected him. Both of them read the same Bible. Both of them attended the same worship service. See, they have the same vision, but they also have the same instructor teaching them God's truth. And both of these men faced the same storm. The houses they built in this parable must have been on the same block, or at least in the same neighborhood. And we know that because when the storm comes, the same storm affects both of them. One of them doesn't face a harder storm than the other. Both men face a storm that's described by Jesus in the exact same way. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house. Now, all of us face storms in our life, but they're not all the same. Some storms are harder at some seasons in our life, and some not as much. Some people face storms that we don't think we could ever endure, but we have our own storm. No, storms are never quite the same in any person's life. But one thing we can be sure of is that we will all face storms. Storms come into every single person's life. Life is not always sunshine. Life is not always how we want it to be and how we want it to turn out. Life is not always easy. No, life has its seasons, sometimes long seasons, sometimes difficult seasons of tears and heartache. See, all of us, we have the same desire to build a life, and we listen to the same teacher, and we all, like these men in these parables, well, we all face storms and difficulties and hardships. So while these two men, they shared a lot in common, they also had some significant differences. And Jesus said that one of the differences between these two men dealt with their character. It dealt with what's happening inside of them. Because Jesus calls the first man wise, and the second man he calls a moron. It's true. The Greek word moros is where we get our word moron, and it's translated here foolish. So Jesus says there's a wise man and there's a fool. The wise man is a guy who wants to build his life, and he gets spiritual training, and as a wise man, he faces the storms that come his way. And the foolish man, is the one who also wants to build a life. And he exposes himself to divine truth, and he as a fool has to face the storms of life as well. Now don't misunderstand, when we call this man a fool, we are not saying that he is dumb. There's nothing in this story that leads us to think that he is a dumb person. No, this guy may very well have graduated valedictorian of his high school class. He may have graduated summa cum laude at the university. This man had lots of information. He was very intelligent, had an IQ, and did well on the ACT. This man was very bright, and yet he was a fool. Because Jesus says there is a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is the accumulation of facts and information, but wisdom is to know how to apply that knowledge. A wise person knows how to prioritize what's truly valuable. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 1:7 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom starts with God. So that the Proverbs also tell us that the fool is the person who is exposed to divine truth but does not respond to it. See, both of these men had dreams. They both listened to Jesus' teaching. They both faced storms. To the outside world, they looked like identical twins. And yet, according to Jesus, they were fundamentally different. One was a wise man, and one was a foolish man. And of course, these men had different foundations. They had built their life on different foundations. That's the difference in these houses. If you had looked at these two men's houses, from one perspective, you couldn't have told the difference, but had you been able to take time and dig down deep, you would have seen that they rested their life on different foundations. So while they had the same dream and listened to the same teaching, their infrastructure was not the same. The thing they based and built their life on was not the same. When Luke, the book of Luke, records Jesus teaching this, it says that the wise man, quote, dug deep to build his life on the rock. See, it is hard to dig deep. It is easy to build on the sand. It is hard to dig deep and build on the rock. It costs a lot more to dig deep and build your life on the rock. But not only is it relatively inexpensive, it is relatively easy to build your life on the sand. To build your life on the rock takes more work, more additional cost, more stress, more strain, more preparation. But to build your life on the sand, well, it comes up with a lot lower cost. So the wise man, Jesus said, he dug deep and put forth the extra effort to build his life on the rock. But the foolish man, he took the cheap way, the easy way, the quick way, and he built his life on the sand. And of course, they experienced different results. Different character and different foundation led to different results. Because the biggest contrast between these two men in the parable is what happened to their house when the storm came. Because we're told that when the storm came and the rains came and the streams rose and the wind blew and beat against the house, one man's house stood and the other one fell. Not only did it fall, but Jesus said it fell with a great crash. It was a total collapse. When that foolish man saw that storm come in his life, the whole thing went down. He watched his entire house, his entire life collapse in front of him. What does God want to teach us this morning? Five truths. One is this. The first one, that we must build our life on the rock. And you saw that coming. You know that from reading the story. You don't need me to tell you that, but how do we do it? What does it mean to build your life on the rock? And the key phrase in this parable is the phrase, put them into practice. Because what Jesus says is that what distinguishes the wise man from the fool is not that they both listened to Jesus' teaching. That is not the difference, because remember, both these men took in Jesus' teaching. They respected Jesus. No, the difference between the wise man and the fool is that the wise man listened to Jesus' teaching and put them into practice. But the fool listened, but did not put it into practice. The difference between the wise man and the fool is that one put Jesus' words into practice and the other one didn't. According to the New York Times, in 1938, a man living in Long Island, New York, bought a barometer so that he could be prepared for the weather that would come his way. 1938, weather forecasting, meteorology wasn't nearly as advanced as it is today, of course. And so people had to depend on themselves to figure out what the weather was going to be in the future. And so this man wanted to be prepared. He went down and bought a barometer for the store, from the hardware store. He came back, set it up, and noticed that it was predicting a hurricane was on its way. Or at least it had the conditions that you would expect if a hurricane was coming. But this guy looked outside, there saw no hurricane. Frustrated, he decided his barometer was broken. He took it back to the hardware store and complained. Turned it back in, returned it, and got a new barometer. When he got back to his house, it was gone. A hurricane had wiped it out. His barometer had not been broken. His barometer had told him the truth, but he had not believed his barometer. Jesus' teaching is not the problem. The problem is that we do not believe Jesus' teaching. At least we don't believe him enough to obey him. Baseball season is starting, and we will all watch games, or at least I will, watch baseball games in which we'll see this intricate battle between batter and catcher and pitcher. And the pitcher will look in, and the catcher will give him signals, what to throw, where to throw it. And the pitcher has the privilege of shaking the catcher off, of shaking his head no, of saying, call a different pitch in a different location, just saying, I don't like what you've called. But the more respected the catcher, the better the catcher, the more seasoned the catcher, then the more the pitcher trusts him. So that a lot of times you'll see if a really respected catcher, a pitcher might go the whole game and never shake off that catcher. To always do what the catcher called him to do. Only a fool shakes off Jesus. That Jesus is like that catcher. He is giving us instructions. He is telling us things about our sexual life. He's telling us things about our financial life. He's telling us things about how to conduct our singleness or our married life. He's telling us things about our future, how to think of our employment. He's telling us about our heart and the world we live in and what's the right way to handle ourselves and not. And only a fool looks at Jesus' instructions, to hear Jesus' words, and shakes him off and says, thanks, Jesus, but I'd prefer if you call it differently. I'd prefer if you call what I want to do, Jesus, because I'm going to do what I want to do, not what you want me to do. The reality is that for most of us, I know for me, it's not that I need to know more. I need to obey more. I don't need more information. What I need is more obedience in my life. My problem is that I don't know enough. My problem is that I don't follow Jesus with what I already do know. What area of your life has God been putting his finger on? What area of your life has God been putting his finger on and saying to you, you need to get this in line with me? I want you to pray and ask me to help you with this area. 100% of the people in this room know that they need to put something in their life right with God. Not most of us, not many of us, 100% of the people in this room have areas of our life that we know God wants us to address and we're refusing. We are shaking Him off. Now, one way we justify that in our mind, the shaking Jesus off, to telling Him that we're not going to do what He wants, is one of the ways we justify it is to tell us and to tell Him that we will do it eventually. We will obey Him later. Yeah, we do that all the time. Like, I'll obey you in that area once I get married, or once I graduate from school, or once I get a job, or once this, you know, whatever it is. When, sometime in the future, then I'll start obeying you, Jesus. We're not disobeying, we're just delaying. Well, I don't know exactly how you might think about delaying, but it is not obeying Jesus. So the first thing we need to learn is we need to build our life on the rock that is Jesus. We need to listen to His words and put them into practice. And second, we learned that storms reveal the foundation our life is built on. Storms reveal the foundation our life is built on. Because the only time you would have discovered a difference between these two men, the only time you would have discovered a difference between the two lives, the two houses they built, is when the storms came. When the sun was shining, you couldn't have told the difference. In fact, when the sun is shining in your life, then you don't even really care what your foundation is. Because your foundation is not under stress, it's not an issue. And so when things are going well, you don't think about it much. But as soon as the storms come, the storms reveal the foundation you built your life on. The storms have a way of revealing to you what your life is. Is it built on rock or sand? Now, don't think the storms are responsible for the life collapsing, because they're not. No, the storms are responsible, they reveal. They don't cause the life to collapse. They just reveal that the life was built on sand. What causes the life to collapse is it was not built on the rock. Third thing to learn is that we must build our foundation before the storm comes. We must build our foundation before the storm comes, because you cannot build a foundation in the rain. Going to Jamaica every summer with a group here from The Crossing, we go to this impoverished part of the island, and we build relationships, but we also build houses, or what you and I would call a room, but to them it's a house. And their whole family's in it, and they're just so thankful to have help with it. And as we build those houses, we start by building foundations. And one of the things that I learned, because I don't know much about things like building and manly things like that, but one of the things I learned from Jamaica is you can't build a foundation in the rain. You can build it before it rains, you can build it after it rains, but you can't build it while it's raining. So that means you have to build the foundation when the sun is shining. You have to build this foundation when it's easy to get distracted. You have to build the foundation when there's no stress on it. You have to dig deep and build on the rock when by all accounts, there's no need to worry about it much. But when you've been laid off and you can't find a job, when the storms come, and your husband or wife tells you that he or she is leaving you, when your daughter's diagnosed with cancer, when your husband has a heart attack, when you find out your child's been experimenting with drugs, for that storm, it is too late to build the foundation. The storm is here. The foundation is what it is. You can put off a lot of things, and it doesn't matter. You can put off mowing your lawn and changing your oil and picking up your cleaning and cleaning your house, and you can put off probably even paying your bills, but you cannot put off building your foundation upon Jesus. Fourth, in the storm, don't forget what you learned in the sunshine. In the storm, don't forget what you learned in the sunshine. Because the Bible tells us about another time that a storm was brewing and Jesus was in it. And in that time, Jesus was, it tells it in Mark 4, I believe, Jesus was getting in a boat with his disciples to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And he told his disciples as they got in the boat, they said, let's go to the other side. And then he got on the boat and went to sleep. But while he was sleeping, the storm was brewing, and it came in and was so violent that these fishermen who made their life on the Sea of Galilee, well, they were scared that they were going to die. So they go and wake up Jesus, who's still asleep, and they say to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" See what they're doing? In this storm, they have become afraid. In this storm, they have become disoriented. Here they are with Jesus, but in the storm, all they can think about is that all of life is falling apart. Jesus gets up and says, "Peace, be still," and the storm is quieted. But what should the disciples have known? What should we remember in the storm? Well, what they should have known was that Jesus said to them, before the storm ever came, when the sun was shining brightly, Jesus said to them, "We're going to go to the other side of this lake." They had heard him say it, they just hadn't believed it. They believed him in the sunshine, but they didn't believe him in the storm. What do you need to believe that God has taught you in the sunshine and you need to take with you into the storm? That God is for you? That God loves you, that he's your good, good father, that he doesn't withhold anything good from those who walk uprightly. Maybe you need to remember that God is the one who has promised that he makes all things work together for your good, and that in this storm, God is working for your good, no matter what it feels like. Maybe you need to remember that God is for you and nothing can stand against you. Yes, things can come against you, but they cannot stand against you. What do you need to remember that God taught you in the sunshine that you need to take in the storm with you? Finally, fifth, Jesus can withstand the storm. Jesus can withstand the storm. Tony Evans, I think he's retired now, he's a pastor, and he tells a story about a time in which he and his wife took a cruise with a bunch of friends, and they're on one of these boats that go out. I've never taken a cruise, but I've seen them, right? They go out on the ocean, and unfortunately, they were in part of the ocean and a season of the year, probably a discounted trip, where the storms came. And so while they're out on their big boat, this violent storm comes, and Tony Evans says it's so violent that the ship is being tossed, and like the piano is rolling across the room, and plates are coming off the table, and the person comes on the speaker and says, "Hey, you probably should go to your room." And so his wife, Tony Evans, says his wife calls the main office and says, I want to speak to the captain. And they're like, "Ma'am, the captain is dealing with the storm right now." And she said, "Well, I know. I'd like to get a message to the captain while he deals with the storm." "Okay, ma'am, what would you like to tell him?" "I'd like to tell the captain that I'm not happy that this storm has come, that it is interrupting my vacation, that I'm scared and panicked, and that this is his fault because he should have known this storm was coming and avoided it." "Okay, ma'am, we'll pass it on to the captain." A few minutes later, their phone rings, and it's the assistant to the captain. "Ma'am, the captain got your message. He wanted me to tell you a couple things. First, he's up at the helm taking care of the ship. You no longer need to worry. He'll do all that for you. There's no need for both of you to worry about it. Second, he wants you to know that this boat was built for this storm. He wants you to know, ma'am, that when this boat was being constructed, we knew what part of the ocean it was going to be on, we knew when it was going to be on the ocean, and we know exactly what kinds of storms come at this time of year. Ma'am, when we were building this boat, the captain wants you to know that all of that was taken into consideration and that this boat was built to withstand this storm. Ma'am, the captain wants you to know that as bad as this storm is, this boat is better." I don't know what kind of storms that you are going through in your life. Maybe you're in a storm right now and you feel overwhelmed and you don't know if you can make it. Maybe you just got out of a storm. Maybe your storm starts tomorrow. I don't know. All I know is I've learned enough at this point in my life to know that laughing can go to mourning really quickly. Laughing can turn into grieving really quickly. So I don't know where you are and what part of your life you're in and when the storm has last come through or when it's heading your way again. I know I wish I could tell you. I know that I wish I could tell you that storms wouldn't come your way. That if you just believed in Jesus, if you just were a Christian, that you could go through life without storms. But that's not true. Jesus has told us over and over that the storms will come, that the hurricanes will come. But what I can tell you is this, is that Jesus was built with your storm in mind. That as bad as the storm is, that Jesus is better. And that a life built on Jesus will remain after the storm has left. Amen.